Buck McKeon, the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, has been highly critical of the $487 billion in 10-year budget cuts DOD proposed earlier this year, even after voting in favor of the Budget Control Act that required those cuts last year. This week, his influential committee voted to add more money to DOD's budget when it passed its version of next year's defense authorization bill, restoring funding to several weapons systems the Pentagon has proposed canceling and blocking other measures DOD wants to take to cut costs. Later in the day at the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta warned House lawmakers that tinkering with DOD's budget plan is a recipe for stalemate with the Senate, and he says it will have consequences for national security.
My concern is that if Congress now tries to reverse many of the tough decisions that we reached by adding several billion dollars to the president's budget request, and they risk not only potential gridlock, because it's not likely that the Senate will go along with what the House did, and if they did, they could force the kind of trade-offs that could jeopardize our national defense.
Overall, the House bill would spend $3 billion more for national defense programs in DOD and other agencies than the administration's budget proposed. Among other changes, the House ordered a $5 billion East Coast missile defense project that military leaders say isn't needed given current missile threats. They restored funding to a drone program that the Air Force wants to cancel, rejected a Navy plan to slow down submarine procurement and retire several surface cruisers, and ordered more tanks from a production line that the Army wants to shut down. Panetta and General Martin Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, both say all of those weapon systems cutbacks were part of a carefully balanced rethink of DOD's strategy and capabilities that the Pentagon's been working on since last year. Dempsey cautioned against upsetting that balance by picking favored programs.
It should not be thought of as just a set of separate service budgets, but as a comprehensive and carefully devised set of choices. Choices that reflect the right mix among force structure, modernization, readiness, pay, and benefits. Different choices will produce a different balance. So before giving us weapons we don't need or giving up on reforms that we do need, I would only ask to make sure it's the right choice, not just for our armed forces, but for the nation. We all know that America's strength rests as much on the industry and the diversity of its people and economy as it does on the might of its military.
In addition to protecting individual weapon systems, the House also rejected a couple of cost-cutting measures that the Pentagon says it needs to implement in order to meet its budget-cutting targets, including health care fee increases for military retirees and the two additional base realignment and closure rounds DOD says it needs to rationalize its infrastructure. Panetta says all of those decisions are going to have to come with trade-offs.
The Department of Defense, and I believe the administration, are not going to support additional funds that come at the expense of other critical national security priorities. And if members try to restore their favorite programs without regard to an overall strategy, the cuts will have to come from areas that could impact overall readiness. There's no free lunch here. There is no free lunch here. Every dollar that is added will have to be offset by cuts in national security. And if for some reason they do not want to comply with the Budget Control Act, then they would certainly be adding to the deficit, which only puts our national security further at risk.
Although he's holding fast to the budget cuts DOD's already proposed, Panetta is also sticking by his position that it would be a disaster for the military if the federal budget gets subjected to the further round of automatic cuts that would be triggered if Congress doesn't agree on a deficit-cutting plan by the end of the year. And in testimony yesterday before the Senate Armed Services Committee, the number two military officers from all four services testified that Congress should deal with the sequestration issue now, rather than waiting for a lame duck session after the presidential election. General Joseph Dunford is the Assistant Commandant of the Marine Corps. He says sequestration at the last minute would result in the immediate firings of thousands of his service members.
We right now are only budgeted in FY13 for 182,000 Marines. We're relying on overseas contingency funds to have a ramp to take us from the 202,000 Marines we're authorized in 12 down to the 182,000 Marines that we're going to be at in FY16. If sequestration went into effect and we were not given the opportunity to have that ramp, that would be an immediate reduction from 202,000 to something, on the order of 168,000. And at that number, there is absolutely no way we would keep faith with people. We'd be breaking contracts and sending people on their way who believe they had a commitment from us to keep on active duty. And these are the very people who are in Afghanistan today, forward deployed, forward engaged, in harm's way. And their reward when they come home will simply be to dismiss them and shake their hand.
The full House voted yesterday on a bill that would, in fact, eliminate sequestration and find deficit control savings in food stamps, Medicare and Medicaid, and other areas of domestic spending instead, while preserving DOD's budget. But in a somewhat rare comment on domestic politics, Panetta says the House position will make sequestration more likely, not less, because it will provoke a fight with the Senate.
Again, I'm grateful to the House for recognizing the importance of stopping sequestration. But by taking these funds from the poor, middle-class Americans, homeowners, and other vulnerable parts of our American constituencies, the guaranteed results will be confrontation, gridlock, and a greater likelihood of sequester. Again, the key is to work together.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.